Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Horseshoe, Indianapolis, on the eve of Indiana Derby, Indiana Oaks Day, and much more. Good morning, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebick.com. Happy to get back here, day two, as we get rolling into the second half of the racing season, and it's going to be a tremendous weekend. The more, as I said yesterday, the more you dug into it, the better it gets. And it starts today, actually, because Ellis Park, the P-Patch kicks off today. And we're going to talk to Dan Bork in a few minutes. And wanted to absolutely give Ellis the attention it deserves as they kick off their summer season. And we'll see what's going on, what's on the agenda. I haven't looked, actually, looked ahead at their stakes calendar, Groupie Doll Day, of course, and the Ellis Juvenile. And Juvenile racing, a big part of their program, more and more the last several years, right? We talked, any number, McPeak and Romans and Asmussen, too. Any number. Buff Bradley, before Buff took down the shingle. Buff would... we go up there and debut the babies, and the money's good, and the competition is very strong. And I told you yesterday, if you hadn't looked at the opening day card, it's well worth your attention. They're doing an all-turf pick three themselves. That idea started at Keeneland and has caught on. New York doing it as well on Sundays. And they've got the last three turf races of the day, the 4th, 6th, and 8th, as a pick 3. They got a pick 5 that starts in the 4th, 9 by 8 by 12 by 7 by 10, and quality. Maiden specials for both 2-year-old and olders, main track and turf. You got a money allowance as the feature, and you've also got a first level allowance as the 6th with that field of 12. So we'll talk to Dan Bork as they get going. And, of course, the Iowa Festival of Racing. And I put out a late bid to find Mary Rampolini, who is covering it for the Daily Racing Forum. But tonight at Altoona, racing starts at 6 Central, and the stakes action starts with the 2-year-old fillies. And that's in the 6th at 9:11 Eastern. Then the Sailorville, the Iowa Distaff, and the Iowa Sprint. And that gives way to Saturday's evening card, which features the two graded stakes, which is the Oaks and the Cornhusker. The Derby dipped down back to a listed stake, but there is potential. There is potential there for the Iowa Derby to return to graded status. So we'll keep an eye on that, too, with the Iowa Festival of Racing getting going. Later today, Scott Shapiro and James Scully, of course, because this is the At the Races Twin Spires weekend preview. So we'll talk to both of them and their schedules a little more relaxed with Churchill having wrapped up the spring meet. So we'll check in on Scott and James. James, I know, looked at a handful of kind of eclectic stakes options. Scott focused on Indiana, so we'll go through a lot of the Indiana stakes sequence with Scott Schaap. Marcus Hirsch at the top of hour two today, and Marcus also Indiana-focused. But, of course, Marcus keeps his eye on the international scene as well, and Maybe he's got some opinions about those Euros that are invading in New York. Speaking of New York, hour three, Dave Grenick will check in with Dave as he gets ready to make his summer sojourn to Saratoga and set up shop for 7 weeks at the spa, as so many of us are doing. One of the funny asides so far during this trip. I was putting up, you know, putting up pictures, some of the places we've been going, and the Battler, the one and only Battler, says, are you coming to Saratoga this year? Only the Battler, who knows me probably 15 years or more, hadn't figured out that we live up there. I said we will probably make that 13-mile drive over from Greenwich maybe a couple of times. The Battler. Unbelievable. Dave Greinich later. Mike Welch is already arrived at Saratoga, so he's been clocking already up at the track, and probably next week we'll start talking to Mike, and we'll broadcast, of course, from opening day. I can't believe this, actually. Thursday, we're going to come home, and we're flying back from Chicago tomorrow, and we got to then turn around and be ready for Saratoga Thursday. So we'll come to you from the old spa on Thursday, and probably Friday too. All right. And now with this new equipment, I could pop up anywhere. I could do a morning show from the training track from over at the Oklahoma side. I could show up at a barn. I could anywhere. I've got this new mobile capability. As long as there's Wi-Fi, I can show up anywhere. Nick Tamaro later, too. We'll check in with Nick and let him walk through the cross-country pick five. And as we mentioned yesterday with Eric Hamelbeck, you've got the two big turf races in New York, the 2 3-year-old features that are just terrific, the Belmont Derby and the Belmont Oaks, and then the three races that conclude the stakes sequence at Indiana, the 10th, 11th, and 12th, the Schuster, the Oaks, and the Derby. Schuster is deep and eye-crossing. Tough race. That third leg. We'll see what Nick has got for us. All right. And Hammer. We'll check in with Hammer, of course, as well. And I can't guarantee that there'll be a ton of handicapping with Hammer. I think we're going to probably end up comparing some notes about the trip, and you know, he traverses so much of the country. He and Gina, and they're, God bless them, they put on the hiking gear and they go on hiking, you know, trips up and down, you know, national parks and so forth. So Hammer knows the highways and byways, big time. So looking forward to that visit with Rick, all right? A couple of things to slip in here before I reach for, and I've got to do the, case is still working, is trying to fix the phone system. So I'll make the calls from here today. And I want to tell you about contest at Belmont tomorrow. There's a Naira Bets contest. They're seeding it with $5,000. It's a $3,000 buy-in, and be aware. I hadn't seen a lot of publicity about it, and I got wind of it yesterday when I got the summary of, you know, some of the weekend stuff that's going on. So I'll send out a link to that on Twitter when I get a chance. And you know, since I mentioned the training track, the Oklahoma, while we were traveling, had seen the news that Cindy Weaver had been badly injured in a spill. A horse had a cardiac incident under her and essentially fell on her. And I just, in the last 10 minutes, sent out a GoFundMe that Blair Golan has established to help the Weavers, and specifically, obviously, Cindy. So, you know, those of you that have been around in New York, you know Cindy, and you can see that there's a, I'm just looking, there's been a, it's only been up for 18 hours, and a very quick response from the New York racing community. But further, you know, out and about, this is a very tough situation. So whatever anyone can do to help Cindy, it'll be a contribution well spent, well received. All right. I didn't mention Delaware, of course. I looked at that yesterday, last night when we got back, and it is also a terrific card. So Del Cap, part of the weekend excitement, the Grade Two and the Grade Three Robert Dick, which the Dick is interesting. You got a group of 10, and I'm pretty sure that James said that he had looked at Delaware. All right, so hopefully we get a chance, because I didn't have an opportunity to reach out to JJ to get a visit in. So we weren't necessarily going to have these 2 days and take these 2 days to actually work. We kind of had been leaning toward the 2 week vacation, but the opportunity to be so close to Indiana and at the invitation, as I mentioned, Mike Lauer and the Indiana Development, the Thoroughbred Development Fund people, they said, could you come? Sure, happy to. So here we are. All right, let's get ready to bring in. Might as well get going, because we got plenty to do here, and anything else I need, I can weave in as the morning progresses, and some other news and notes that invariably come our way. So reaching for Dan Bork now, and we'll start talking about Ellis. No reason to wait. And Dan Bork.
Hey there.
Dan Bork, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you, Steve?
I'm terrific. I did not want to let opening day and the season kick off without a visit, and always a celebration when the circus comes to town.
That is true. You're right. You're right. It is.
And it's also
exciting day.
Well, it's also what, the 100th. I saw Marty McGee, and Marty's recovering from a knee replacement, but it's the 100th anniversary of Ellis Park.
It is 100 years, and it's probably going to be one of the best years, I'm assuming, and or hoping anyway, and it looks like it's shaping up to be that way. So,
one of the things I know that Marty mentioned, you got new ownership, and so there's a little bit of a transitional scenario, but the the foundation and the familiar names like you and certainly looking at the entries for the first few days, the names that are familiar. So there's potential new elements coming to Ellis, but what makes it a very good meet is already in place. And one of the things that we've talked about, I'd say, the last 6-8 years is the 2-year-olds. It's become a real hotbed, and a lot of big outfits aren't afraid or aren't hesitant to take expensive 2-year-olds and start them there.
No, you're 100% correct. I mean, so, Ellis, it's not the Churchill Downs, it's not Keeneland, but it is Kentucky, and that's, Kentucky is where it is right now. If you're in horse racing, you want to be in Kentucky, but the purse level's where they are. We just got another $1 million. We're adding 2 KTDF races effective on Sunday. So we just raised them, so the maids just went to 60,000. So that should make our 2-year-old program even stronger. And that's compliments to Ron Winchell and Kentucky Downs for, supporting Ellis Park over the years so much. So the Kentucky circuit's getting stronger and stronger every year. And like you said, you see the familiar names, the big names, the Steve Asmussens and Brad Cox, and, all the leading trainers in the country are going to be running horses there. Todd Pletcher's got one. It is fun to be a part of. It's Kentucky, like I said, is where it is, and Ellis Park is just, getting a getting going, so to speak, and really going to be stronger every year from here.
Run down the strata, and I'm just, you know, just looking, and I see that the 2 year olds running for 50,000, and then all the maidens are running for 50,000. That has come up from, I think, from 10,000, right, from 40. Run down the horse population and what kind of a book is out there for Mid-American horsemen.
Sure. So actually, like you just said, the maidens are now 60,000. We just raised the purses before we even got started. So effective Sunday, we added 10,000 KTDF to every race. And that was, through our partnership with Kentucky Downs and Mr. Winchell. So we're excited about that. But yeah, the horse population here is going to be excellent. We got major stables that are here. We'll have a full barn area. Obviously, Churchill Downs barn area will remain full. I think we'll the first week or two, we might be a little slow in the entry box just because of how much everybody participated towards the end of Churchill. So it'll be a little slow, I think, for the first couple weeks. But after that, middle of summer, we'll be rolling here. And, we get different outfits from Chicago. We've got Brittany Vandenberg, D. Polis, there's several other outfits from Chicago that are going to be joining us this summer too. So it's good to have a little mix in there and some new names. And obviously the jockey colony will be second to none as well. So I think, Ellis Park's going to be one of the better signals in the summer this year for sure.
Dan Bork with us as Ellis Park opens up and getting ready to celebrate a century of racing at the Pea Patch, and it's an amazing story when you talk about what went on between the instant racing and the historic machinery that breathe life into Kentucky Downs, and then from there, it's only spread and strengthened the circuit all the way around. And Ellis, there was an uncertain. I remember having conversations with Ron Geary years ago, Dan, where there was real uncertainty, and Geary was going into his own pocket to keep the place going, and. It's really a wonderful story because Ellis Park it has a valuable place in the circuit and a great history. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's a real treasure that I don't think the wider audience out there, horse players and owners and people that are involved in the game, I just don't think they think enough about what Ellis represents as an institution there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, this place is over the 100 years. It's been through a lot, and all my years here, I've been through a lot with it. But I know there's so much potential here with the facility, with the the surface is excellent. It's a mile and an eighth track, so. And then that means, we have a mile turf course, which is, allows us to run a little bit more than most places. And there's just so much potential here. And I think over the years, as we get going and this circuit gets stronger and stronger, this is going to be the one that's really going to take off. Like I said, we got a great track man with Javier. He takes better care of this track. I mean, it's phenomenal how much the horsemen, they come down here. They just love, training on it, racing on it, because it's such a good surface to be on. And then obviously the turf being a mile long, we're going to probably do some widening of that over the off season, so that'll give us another lane or two, so that'll help things as well going forward.
Let's take a look at the stakes calendar and Groupie Dal Day, of course, the highlight, and just adding up $600,000 day of stakes action, and Run Happy attached himself to to Groupie Dal Day, but the Groupie Dal, the Ellis Park Oaks, the Derby, the Debutante, and the Juvenile, and that comes in August on a Sunday. So you might actually you probably get a little bit more focus on a Sunday than on a busy, you know, Saratoga, Del Mar Saturday.
Correct. That's kind of the planning there. We do that on Sundays. You know, a lot of the bigger riders will be out of town at Saratoga. And then this year, of course, August 13th is Million Day. So we're hoping to tie it in the whole weekend, tie it in with our races, their races at Churchill, and then tie right into, you know, a big day at Ellis. So you get the Million, the Pucker Up, the Beverly D, and the Secretariat all at Churchill, and then the following day we'll be down here for the Ellis Derby. Obviously, like you said, Mattress Mac, a full sponsor of it. You know, he's a big supporter of Kentucky and definitely a supporter of Ellis Park. And, you know, we're thrilled that he's still with us as our title sponsor.
Nice. And I'm also noticing that that previous Sunday, you've got a turf card that is going to feature a turf sprint, a couple of different turf sprints, I imagine, for both sexes, and a mile for both as well. So a $100,000 turf stakes the previous Sunday.
Right. That was typically our Kentucky Downs preview day. And this year, being that, you know, we've made a deal with Churchill, there was no need to actually run it because, you know, the Million's going to be a prep for the Kentucky Downs races. And so we just kind of put that day on hold for a year, and then we'll, you know, hopefully get back to it again next year and bring back the bigger races for it. So we still have four of the seven that weekend. And then, like I said, obviously the Million and the Beverly D will be preps for Kentucky Downs. So that should also be a great weekend, too. So, you know, that and scatter with a bunch of great two-year-olds. You never know who's going to be popping out of here. Last year's Derby winner ran down here in a turf race and then was claimed at Churchill the following start. So you just don't know, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, looking at this opening day, and I mentioned that, you know, you've added a turf pick three, which daily the last three turf races of the day.
Correct.
Nice. And the late pick five, a late pick four, and boy, I'm just looking at that first level allowance where Cherie DeVoe shows up, and Dallas Stewart, Mark Cassie, Claude Ray McGahee III. you've got McPeak and Mott and Brian Williamson, another one from Cherie. This is a serious, you know, a serious set of horses that show up here for a $51,000 mile turf allowance. So this gives you an idea of what you know, what's going to greet you when you open up these cards.
Yeah, I think, like you said, that we're going to definitely have the, you know, the big names of the game all in there. And then obviously there, you know, we still got our you know, a bunch of good local trainers that are around here too that are, you know, been with this place for decades. So everybody's stepping up their quality of, you know, their horses, and they all know what it takes to compete here. So, you know, it's not so much the land of the, you know, the lesser quality maidens and stuff like that, where the quality has definitely gone up over the last few years, and I expect it to keep going that way too.
Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, running through the end of August, and a nice, you know, nice to, you know, just make a switch. You can't, you know, one of the nice things about Kentucky, you know, between Turfway to Churchill to Keeneland to, you know, back to Churchill and Ellis, and, you know, there's a nice Kentucky Downs. It's a real circuit, and it's good. It keeps everybody fresh, and you know, it's good for the horse players, it's good for everybody, different levels, and I was excited to get a chance, Dan, to, you know, kind of put the spotlight on Ellis for those that, you know, if you haven't played it before, open it up, because it looks like it's going to be a terrific meet, and you might end up, you know, especially if you spent any part of the spring following Churchill, you know, you're going to see a lot of the horses run back, and then you're going to be out in front of some of the good two-year-olds that are going to show up. Dan, I appreciate this, and best of luck to everybody. A safe, successful summer season at Ellis Park.
Very, very good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Not at all. Dan Bork, everybody, the racing secretary at Ellis Park, as they get going, and if you're tuning in, you'll hear Jimmy McInerney, who, of course, is the voice of Ellis and Turfway, and I think he still books mounts too. So Jimmy does it all, and Megan Devine, Cody, as it were, is going to be doing broadcast paddock type work. So you get to see Megan, and Megan can pick winners. So there's an option. That's good. Well, we'll get Megan on during the course of the season. We're going to get Scott Shapiro in here, and we'll talk to Scott about his plays and see what he is interested in this weekend. And we're going to talk to Mary Rampolini about Prairie Meadows as well. So let's get Scott Shapp in here. Scott, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm very good. Great to connect, and back from vacation, and I'm only sorry that I missed a chance to preview and discuss Foster Day with you and James. How'd you make out last weekend?
It was a bit of a up and down weekend. Missed a chance on Saturday at a real big hit, but it was a really fun closing weekend. Obviously, Saturday was the headliner. Olympiad really, to me, stamped himself as legit. Not necessarily a horse that I was against by any stretch of, you know, as a Breeders' Cup Classic contender, but what he hadn't done, in my opinion, is kind of stalked a hot pace. He had stalked kind of moderate paces, which a little more favorable for a horse like him, but they went at it pretty quick early on with Caddo River, a couple others across the track, and he put them away, and American Revolution got a great trip and ran real well, but was no match. So I thought Olympiad was one of the stars of the day. And then on the undercard, Damon's Mound, the firster for Michelle Lovell. So cool to see. You know, Michelle doesn't get a lot of precocious horses, not necessarily a goal of her program to win with two-year-old maiden special weight first-time starters, but that was quite a show that Son of Gervin put on in that spot. 93 Brisnet number, a big number on all metrics, but very impressive, and yeah, it was a real good meet, and looking forward to doing some work from home for a little bit, and then getting back at it in the fall, and for Arlington Million, of course.
That just came up, actually, with Dan Bork, as we talked about the Ellis Park season kicking off today. One horse from last week we may be discussing momentarily, Rattle and Roll, McPeak, pulling an old school maneuver and taking the American Derby winner and wheeling him right back into this weekend.
Yeah, Rattle and Roll got the decrease in competition he needed. He was up a little bit closer to the pace in that American Derby, which of course was raced over the dirt this year. And it was a spot where he should have won, but he did, and he won pretty convincingly. So it was a positive there. I thought he was underwhelming in the Matt Wynn. The allowance event after the Bluegrass was okay. So I kind of doubted whether he was going to be good enough to handle a field like that at a short price, but he certainly disposed of them, and one of a few on the past performances. Kenny's wheeling back quickly from the Churchill Downs beat.
Run them when they're right, as the saying goes, right? You know, one other baby that I'll ask you about from last week, the Gulfport. That was shot across the bow for the two-year-old division. That looks like a really serious goal.
Sure does. Nothing to point at him having any issues as they go longer and the competition gets tougher. He impressed me You know, mostly you knew he was fast. You knew he was good. He was well met on debut. But he got that perfect outside stalking trip on debut. And you wondered if he moved to the rail, you know, if any kind of issues out of the gate or anything of that nature, be a different type trip. But he answered that question in about a second when he popped the gate. And he went fast early, fast late. He looks pretty serious. I haven't, didn't hear exactly what the plan was. I would think maybe giving him some time off towards the tail end of the meet at Saratoga. But man, he was the best. Those were the best 2-year-olds of the meet. And obviously, you know, Damon's Mount and Gulfport, and it's hard to crown in terms of males, especially, but it's hard to crown Damon's Mount anywhere near up there with a stakes winner. But, both of them were definitely part of the headlines over the last few days of the meet.
Very much. And Wonder Wheel on the Philly side and the debutante. And, we didn't mention Cody's Wish in the Hanshin. I mean, it was a very good, very good flurry of action to close out the Churchill Spring meet. Scott Shapiro with us. Scott, as you mentioned, you get a little bit of a respite. You don't have to, you know, get ready for TV 4 days a week. So give us some thoughts about this weekend. What did you focus in on?
Yeah, I took a couple days break, so I didn't work on anything for today and just focused on Horseshoe Indianapolis's card for tomorrow. So that's what I have for in terms of opinions, and most of the opinions I have are in the stakes, but I do think the opener is a little interesting. It's a maiden special for 3-year-old fillies at a mile, and I'm expecting the outside three to take most of the money, as is the morning line suggesting. Milan's Girl was a horse that I had heard was a serious runner, and she's struggled to figure things out thus far. I expect her to take a lot of money. Faith's Reward for Steve should be involved early and easy to love. A little bit underwhelming last time out, but has had outside draws. But I think you can make a little bit of a case for number 3, Miss Everything, who should be bigger than 4-1 because that last race was bad. But I thought you could make an excuse for it. She was very, very wide into the first turn. The race was dominated by front runners, including Silver Leaf for Kenny McPeak, who won the race, and Tiffany's Mo was loose on the lead. He maybe needed the race first start in this area and off a little bit of a break for Keith DeSormo. So I thought Miss Everything was a little interesting, as was number 2, Bikini, second start for Rudy Brisset, who had a nice little run there at the end of the Churchill meet and has crushed it with just about everything he sent up to Shelbyville. And this one, pretty well bred, probably needed that last race and probably wants a little longer. I thought galloped out pretty well. So I'm going to try to go against the grain a little in the opener with the, with a 3-2, Miss Everything in Bikini.
Very good.
And then, on to the 4th, which is the first of the stakes, right?
Yeah.
The Mary Holman George Memorial Stakes. And Misty Vale looks like the clear one to beat here. Steve, probably loose on the lead. Wasn't great on June 12th. I don't know. That was a weird race because at Churchill, because the Mary Rose looked like she was in hand, the Arkansas bred, and just stopped. And then she came back and ran so poorly in a stakes race on the closing weekend. But Lady Frosted ran pretty well in that last start, and a mile and an eighth is a little further than she wants, probably. She's going to have to run a little bit better, but first start off the claim for Maker, and she does have a win over the racetrack and should get a good trip in there. So I thought Lady Frosted was a little interesting, a couple horses coming back pretty quick, Sombre Juice for Kenny McPeak, Microcap for Grant Forster. But I'm 5-2 in there. I thought Lady Frosted might provide a little bit of value.
The Mary Holman George, and for those that aren't Indianapolis files, of course, Mary Holman George, who passed away a couple of years ago probably by now, and was the longtime chairwoman of the Speedway, and the Holman family have been very big benefactors in the city of Indianapolis.
You learn something every day, especially with Steve Beck.
That's why I'm here, right?
The fifth, the Indiana General Assembly distaff. I thought Navratilova was going to really appreciate the decrease in competition here. Not that this is a poor field by any stretch, but running into the likes of Regal Glory, Shauna Sara, and them in the Jenny Wiley on April 16th. And then the Honey Fox, which I thought was even better than it looks when you take everything into account. Far outside draw, floated three wide into the first turn. In Italian with a better trip and obviously a very high caliber racehorse, and still finished well off a layoff. So I thought Navratilova will really appreciate probably getting out there loose on the lead. Not a horse that, you know, maybe she could relax if she needs to, but I think this is a good spot for her. Rusty Arnold's had a very solid meet, had a good run of it at Churchill, more so early in the meet, didn't run as many runners later on in the meet, but one with all sorts of types. I thought Navratilova was a potential single in some of these horizontal wagers.
Interesting, I loved the dam center court, and I expected her, as a 4 year old, to really be a player, and I can't imagine Rusty's pleased with where she, how she has performed, and it feels to me like he kind of backed off of her and kind of regrouped, and it may pay off. It's notable to me that she fired a bullet for this on Monday and a 47 flat, and so whatever may have been, kind of holding her back, because frankly, she only returned at four with those, those two performances in the Honey Fox and then the Wiley, really at the same level that she exited as a 3 year old.
Right.
And you would expect with this, you would have expected her, to kind of improve. And so maybe the improvement comes. It's going to need to, because for $100,000 stake, listed stake, this is a good group. Take Charge Row and Flippant in here. Hendy Woods shows up in here. This is not a set of tomato cans.
No, I definitely agree. And maybe she's just not quite as good as you would like, as grade one type races, and the Honey Fox, who was 26-1. Maybe she's, a cut below, or maybe just the confidence boosting and the freshening, like you mentioned. This will kind of be, I hate to put it on the line and say this will be it for me if she doesn't run well, but I think she's got to perform well here. If she gets beat at the wire, like you said, there's some good ones in here and Flip It. Hendy Woods, Lake Lucerne, high quality horses. I've kind of seen enough. I just don't think they're going to take a step forward here. Maybe if you're looking for a place in there, Waliak might be a little bit intriguing. Got off to a slow start, now gets blinkers and Lasix. Didn't really have much of a chance in the Mint Julep, but I'm going to lean heavily on Navratilova if the price is anywhere close to the 5-2 morning line. I just think she's got a little bit of a class and pace edge in here.
Now, Take Charge Row interests me, because that was a breakthrough effort in the Mint Julep, even if it was only good for third behind Gam's Mission and Dalica. That was a forward move, and that may be an indication that there's more to come. She's another one that that gave every indication that she was moving forward, and that was a big effort. She ran into two good ones, but this is a good race.
It's fun.
Very good race.
Brian Lynch, another guy, Steve, that just was awesome. I mean, just about everything he sent out at Churchill from start to finish ran pretty well or exceeded expectation. Went well over 30% of his races, and good to see. And could you make a good point there? The outside draw shouldn't be too problematic. Should have enough tactical speed to tuck in there a little bit under Giovanni Franco.
Very good. Are you doing anything in the Lucky Star or not?
I am not.
Right.
I am not. I'm going to move to the Schaefer Memorial. The eighth, and Mr. Wireless was very good last year. Kind of great job by Brett Calhoun. So many of these conditioners around here are able to take advantage kind of that, not to knock the groups, but the second tiers and the third tier great stakes events, and knowing that it's a great opportunity to you know get graded stakes, make some money, and then realize there's not going to be those graded spots like this as a 4-year-old. He tried 1 mile in his return race, and I think he ran off a little more, got a little more involved early than Brett would have liked to have seen, and tired in there. But that was a one-turn mile race, honest early pace, didn't relax well. Caddo River, who didn't live up to my expectations of the Stephen Foster, but was great that day, just put away that field. And I think he's got some upside. He fired some solid works, including June 25th, a 5-furlong drill, bullet drill, 59-3. And I think he sits a real good trip here. I do think there's horses that he'll have to step up to beat, but I think he's on the come, and I wonder if the same could be said for the likes of South Bend and Tom Shelby and Spa City. So I'm going to give Mr. Wireless a chance here in the second start off the bench at 5-1. I think he's going to run much better than last time, and hopefully it's good enough to get a good trip and beat the veteran runners he takes on in here.
Very good. The Michael Schaefer goes as the eighth. And then
the last three, The Jonathan Schuster Memorial was pretty competitive.
Oh yeah.
The problem is if Ivar runs his race, which is an if, he's probably better than these, no?
Yeah, he is, and it feels like he's a horse that this is a concept very similar to what we just talked about with Rusty and with Navratilova, that kind of a. Let's pick his head up situation, and Paulo Lobo bringing him here and essentially kicking off the season, and he's looking toward things like Keeneland and Kentucky Downs for the second half campaign for Ivar. So it's two things: it's a kickoff and it's also a way to maybe get a W, because he is on a little bit of a protracted skid.
Right. No, he is. I mean, he did run huge, though, in the Breeders' Cup Mile. I can't hold that one against him. I thought he ran.
Yeah, he ran well.
Big. I thought, yeah, good ride under Joe Talamo. Price option, and another horse I'm going to use is another Rusty Arnold horse, El Caban. I just think this horse is really taking a nice step forward as a 4-year-old. 2 wins to start the campaign. Beat okay runners at Keeneland, but did it nicely at 17-1. And came back and ran big in the subsequent start at Churchill at a mile and a 16th that day. Skyro, who finished second, came back to win, albeit gone one turn over the dirt on closing day. But I think that's a very nice Brian Lynch runner. I think actually a sibling to the horse you were praising, Take Charge Row. But I think El Caban offers pretty good value here at 10-1, barring a number of scratches. Should be an honest pace. Some like it Hot Brown, Gray's Fable. Not sure which race Running Ray is going to go to. I would assume the dirt race. Duke of Hazard. So there's some zip in here. So I think El Caban should get an honest pace, and the price should be right with him.
Nice. All right. And now the 3-year-olds, the two grade 3 features, the Oaks and the Derby.
Yeah, I think Interstate Daydream is going to be one tough customer in the Indiana Oaks. I think, they tried the Ashland two back, went fast track, and she was no match for the likes of Nest. But I think she's right the cut below the top ones in here. And Brad Cox is managing her well. The Black Eyed Susan, I thought she was very impressive, just sat and stalked off a pretty quick pace and handled that field pretty easily. And I thought that was a better field than what she'll face today. It's a decent group, and you'd have to think, there's a little bit of speed in here, and she draws outside, but one of those speeds, in my opinion, stretching out, is going to be Patna, the stablemate, who I think they'll probably let go. And then maybe Interstate Daydream will sit outside with the likes of Silver Leaf. Maybe that's how they'll line up. There's some other horses with Tactical Foot. But either way, I think Interstate Daydream is kind of the best of that next tier, which suits her extremely well in here. And I don't know, are we going to get even 9-5, or are we going to get shorter?
Probably a little shorter.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you brought up Patna, who I think is, you know, Brad Cox does this regularly. He's got an up-and-comer that ends up being a stablemate of an obvious player. And if she takes one more step forward, I mean, she's improved with each start. And the two turns, it is interesting that they were going to try her on grass. And she ended up winning that allowance off the turf. But another step forward. I'll tell you who else is moving forward steadily is Amos with 63 caliber. This is a gun runner out of Lee Pacoy's class of 63, who's been a productive broodmare for Lee and has been producing sellers under gavel. 63 caliber is okay in here, actually, and Runaway Wife is a logical alternative for anybody.
Runaway Wife has gotten good. She's run very, very well, and probably, she battled to the wire. I thought that was a very good race with Scratch Cat, who finally put it together for Phil Bauer and Rigby Racing. But another McPeak that's coming back off, less than 10 days rest, and he doesn't have the greatest numbers. In fact, 12% last race, 10 days or less over a 68 start sample size, but just an 81% ROI. Which suggests to me, there are a lot of figure horses, not a lot of, price horses in here. But there's no doubt that Runaway Wife and Silverleaf, they've got some upside. I just think it's a lot to ask to have them come back so quickly and beat the likes of the two Cox runners. The Patna to me is very nice. The bottom side of the pedigree, a little sprinty, but obviously in the mischief and the whole family, not an overly concerning. I just think Interstate Daydream is the better of the two, but the price will certainly reflect that.
Let's talk about the feature, the nightcap, and the Indiana Derby. 28th running. 37th. I don't know why that number was in my head. 28th running.
We'll forgive you. Yeah, I think you got to try to beat Rattle and Roll. I just mentioned the stat about McPeak wheeling runners back quickly, not necessarily something he's known for. And I do love and respect the idea of running horses off more often and when they're in good form. But I think it's a lot to ask. And, that was a decent field in the American Derby. I think this is a better field. Still some major unknowns in here with horses like Best Actor and Actuator trying the two turns on the dirt after wins, nice wins, albeit going one turn at Churchill. You've got Unoho coming back, who's a wild card now in the Diodoro barn. The two horses I'm interested in, Steve, first is King Ottoman, mm-hmm. who won the Texas Derby and did so in getting floated more in the lane by a stablemate Presidential. And it just feels like the Son of Curlin is a horse that Steve knew maybe needed a little bit of time, never really sprinted him, just started him at two turns, then he ran him in the one-turn race on Derby Day, which was turned out to be a very live race. Congressman and Warrior Johnny beating him. And I just think he's a horse moving in the right direction. The dam shook up, was second in the 2015 Kentucky Oaks. So not worried about the pedigree to get more ground. I mean, it's just screaming out to continue on with longer distances, in fact. So I think King Ottoman is my most likely winner. Maybe outside of Rattle and Roll, who I just am going to try to beat because of the price and the situation. But I'm going to go back to a horse also that I've lost a little too much money on over the last couple of tries, albeit not the Pat Day Mile, but Trademark, I think. I'm going to give him one more chance to at least hit the board at a big price in here. I'm willing to toss the Pat Day Mile, Steve, where he was just, outrun early, broke okay, was kind of beaten out of the gate, never really got position, and chasing the likes of Jack Christopher, my prankster, not really ideal. Now stretches back out the two turns, and I did think the Bluegrass and the Tampa Bay Derby were okay, not great, and I just think we'll get the right trip here. It's a good bunch, but it's not the Bluegrass. It's not, I think the Tampa Bay Derby maybe was somewhat similar, but been freshened up, has another one coming in off a big work. This one at Keeneland for Vicky Oliver, 4 furlongs at 47, and hopefully he can get position and just save ground and at the very least grind away a minor share at a big price.
Well, I completely agree about the King Ottoman being, you know, the middle price opportunity in here at 5-1, and it will be interesting to see where the money gravitates. Best actor, you know, 2-for-2 and trying stakes for the first time in here, and certainly, you know, again, this is one of those now horses that Brad Cox comes up with. Be interesting to see what Michael W. is doing, Michael McCarthy is doing with Actuator, because he is cross-entered in the Iowa Derby, and I have not checked the...
I think Marcus Hirsch reported yesterday that he's coming in doing the Indiana Derby.
Yeah, which makes the graded black type, and he is owned by black type thoroughbreds, so we're getting graded black type, quite desirable, and he's coming in hot, this horse.
He was awesome that day. Yeah.
So this will be intriguing. It's an interesting group, and a typical mix of, you know, some horses that have had you know, some exposure, you know, like Unoho, for instance, and you know, that type, and then Rattle and Roll, of course, and then some up and comers. It's what you look for in these regional derbies.
Without question, and Rattle and Roll makes it an interesting betting race, trying to figure out from there, you know, what to expect. Is it, obviously, it's a pretty good sign for Kenny to wheel him back so quickly, but he's doing it with four of his horses, at least at this point on the past performances. So, you know, it's a tough read, but I think it's worth a shot against in there. So, but yeah, fun race.
Very good. Scott Shapiro, everybody. Shap. Best of luck this weekend, and we will be on top of Saratoga when we talk next week.
Yes, we will. I wish I would be there with you, but I'll be happy to have those past performances in hand before long.
You know, a Shapiro appearance at Saratoga would be, you know,
long overdue. I haven't gotten there since I moved to Kentucky, just with the timing of everything. So, outside chance this year, but man, I miss it. It was an every year experience for so many years of my life, but geographically challenged number of years, and just haven't made it back. But either way, excited for the racing there, and of course at Del Mar as well.
Scott Shapiro, everybody. Scott Chap 34 on Twitter, and some good ideas for the weekend, focused right here at Indiana. And when we look at what's going on here, beside, you know, the racing itself, I'm looking at a list of activities. There's all kinds of fun. There's the cap and t-shirt giveaway. There is a handicapping contest here, actually, as well. The $2,500 Indiana Derby Legends handicapping contest. You've got Tina would be interested. She's a big Yellowstone fan, and Forey Smith, who plays Lloyd, is going to be here tomorrow. How about that? It's a drawing, actually, to meet Forey Smith. Interesting. The pick four, the pick fives, of course, and there's a hat contest. They're giving away three mega bets. There's going to be drawings for three people to win $1,000 Indiana Derby plays. And most importantly, Bugler Gary Lazier will play back home again in Indiana. For all of you that love the moonlight on the Wabash. For those of us of a certain age who have always enjoyed the 500, there's only one version of back home again in Indiana that any of us, you know, ever will enjoy, and that, of course, was Jim Nabors singing "Back Home Again in Indiana," back home again with Mary Rampolini in Altoona, Iowa. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. That's a long way to travel with these gas prices.
Well, Tina and I have been, we've been on the road for a week on Route 66, and we averaged, we were keeping track. It was about $4.50 a gallon, and what did we say, Tina? $400 maybe to... Yeah, we probably filled up about eight times at $50 a run. So it probably cost us $400 to go from Arizona to Indiana.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I mean, it made a vacation. It made some interesting travel, didn't it?
Yeah, well, you and nobody, as I always say with Mary, who covers more ground than any turf rider in the country. I mean, Mary covers from the Southwest to Charleston, for goodness sakes. I mean, is all over the place. But the focus here, Mary, is on Prairie Meadows. And I got to give Stu Slagle, I thought about reaching for Stu, but we haven't spoken in so long. I had to get you on for the Prairie Meadows action. What a nice pair of cards Stu put together for the Iowa Festival of Racing.
Really nice. Like you said, Friday and Saturday night will be the festival, and I think there's about $1.2 million in thoroughbred stakes for each night, and some very competitive races, Steve.
Well, and tonight, let's touch on tonight. I mean, we're more focused on the Cornhusker Derby Oaks card, but some thoughts about tonight's sequence?
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to see some nice sprinters out of the barn of trainer Johnny Ortiz. He's had a lot of success with sprinters over the last year. I would say Hollis, most notable, setting the track record for 5.5 furlongs at Oaklawn this year, or this past meet, I should say. But Johnny brings a joyful cadence. She's a half to country grammar, and she's been placed in, I think, three stakes in her career. She's three-time stakes placed, and she looks very strong in the Sailorville. And he certainly loves that outside post with her. So it would be really nice to see her get a stakes win from a, you know, just on her pedigree alone. That would be very exciting for them to get a stakes win on her as well. But she's a real quality filly. And so she looks very strong in there. And then the Ortiz barn will send out Top Gunner in the Iowa Sprint. And he seems like against a very sharp local in Oil Money.
Well, and Oil Money, let me turn. Where did we see Oil Money?
We've seen him a lot. He talked about a horse that travels. He started out at Zia. I think he won his first stakes at Zia in their Zia Park Juvenile on the Land of Enchantment Day. But lately he's been at Prairie. He's gone 3 for 3 this meet at Prairie, Steve, and certainly has seen action at other tracks as well. But a very sharp horse right now.
And he was claimed, dangled for 20 at Hawthorne, and John Arnett grabbed him and has got him on a 4-race win streak in here, 5-2. And how old is he now? He's 6 years old now. Oil Money. He's funny. He has shown up on a lot of Mary Rampolini type cards. That
he has. He and I are kindred spirits.
Exactly. let's turn to Saturday and dig into really a nice sequence. And you know, every year, whenever we talk about the Cornhusker, we talk about the heritage of at Exarban and Prairie Meadows, essentially, you know, picking up the, you know, the tradition of you know, the great handicap race of the plains. And the Cornhusker, grade 3, mile and an eighth, and it comes at the end of the sequence after the Oaks and the Derby. Let's start with the Cornhusker.
Sure. You know, it's a very interesting race. You've got Silver Prospector coming off arguably the best race of his career, last out winning the Steve Sexton Mile at Lone Star Park. Very sharp. He'll have that best last race buyer, that 100 buyer, very flashy looking number. And then you've got Warrant, this up and coming young horse, this new 4-year-old, and who could be very exciting in the handicap division. He's coming in, backing up off of a mile and a half race in the Brooklyn, was second to Fearless up in New York. So those are kind of very interesting horses. Officiating the half to Caledonia Road is stretching out here, and you know, there's a chance he slips away. He's a blame horse, the mile and an eighth, you know, should be interesting for him. But, yeah, it's a very interesting race. Nice group of horses, and then you've got the old warrior, rated our superstar, who's been third in this race the last few years.
You know who we should mention is Flash of Mischief, because Broberg, very clever on cards like this, and he brings Flash of Mischief in and actually got him a work over the track. And if you think back to last year, he was very good, in fact, at Prairie, winning the Golden Circle, second in the mile to Gagetown, and then beaten by Stiletto Boy, who invaded from California and was a handful in the Iowa Derby. So stretches out to the mile in the eighth, and he does have that Oklahoma Derby second. I respect the hell out of Broberg, and Flash of Mischief with Alex Cancari, 6-1.
No, I think you raise a good point also because, how this race could set up, because this horse has a lot of speed too. And so if for some reason officiating doesn't get the break or maybe this horse Flash of Mischief, you know, the sprint race, he shows at Lone Star two back. He really showed a lot of speed there, a lot of quickness. And like you said, the runner-up finished to Warrant already in the Oklahoma Derby. No, he's definitely, the horse has won three stakes. He's really a nice horse.
Gets us to the Iowa Derby, and we just talked with Scott Shapiro about some emergent types that are running here in Indiana, and probably the least known emergent three-year-old in the country is in this event, Michael Tomlinson, Conaher, and here's a horse that just absolutely came to hand at Keeneland with a blowout win, then followed it up with a very impressive, as good a performance as anybody turned in at Churchill in the spring meet. And Conaher, a Jimmy Creed out of a Niagara Causeway mare, a $9,000 purchase, and Mike Tomlinson says that this is a very serious horse, and he certainly comes in with the best last race buyer by a wide margin, and he's not going to be the favorite.
Yeah, he's a very interesting horse. I agree with you, and he might just be, he might just be the speed of the speed in here based on what he's been doing. But part of what I like is just talking to Mike Tomlinson is that this is a very manageable type of horse, a very agreeable type of horse. He's become more mature. They gave him some time off, and so depending on how things set up, He should have some options, Joe Rocco.
Who else intrigues you in here? Major General, another Pletcher monster, who actually is going to get first Lasix here because he's eligible to get it, and has kind of gone sideways since that good performance in the Lexington behind Tawny Port. Tawny Port has gone forward, and Major General's kind of gone sideways. Paul McGee shows up with one for Silverton Hill, Big Blue Line, off of maiden win and an allowance win. Ain't Life Grand for Kelly Vaughn. Off the try in the Prairie Mile, and we know that, or we expect that Rattle and Roll and Actuator are going to run here in Indiana.
Yes, correct. So we'd be looking at probably an eight-horse field. Certainly Chelino's an interesting horse on the outside for Steve Asmussen. It's a nice horse, beat older horses last time in the maiden ranks, and he's got a lot of seasoning. He's had 10 starts, but I think what's interesting and what Steve pointed out is, these company lines for Chelino, Best Actor, two back, he was 32. You'll see Best Actor over at Indiana, like you said, over there at Indiana on Saturday. We the People, Chelino's third to We the People. He's just kept some nice company, had that breakthrough maiden win last time, and he's meant to be a nice horse.
Who'd you pick in here?
Well, I did go with the Conaher horse. He's exciting, Steve, and I do think he could be the speed of the speed,
I love it. All right. I'm always happy to have Mike Tomlinson get a nice horse. Gets us to the Oaks, and there were eight entered, and Candy Raid cross-entered for Keith DeSormo with the Oaks in here. So we probably trimmed to seven, but some thoughts about this group. Pletcher's got one for this as well, an emergent filly by Uncle Mo for China Horse Club and Windstar, Falconet.
Yeah, Falconet, and out of that good mare, Bird at the Wire. And this is her first foal, just from a little pedigree research that I did. And she's very sharp. Like you said, she's going for three in a row. And here, she's an interesting filly. Butterbean won the local prep, the Panthers. She seems to be up and coming for trainer Kenny McPeak. And I will say, talking to Keith DeSormo, Candy Raid's going to land in this spot. She's going to run here at Prairie Meadows.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, so she's getting back on the dirt. And I can say that Keith's very excited for her for Saturday night. He likes how she's coming up into the race. And, you know, he's really happy with her. And it looks like the pace, she could really get the right kind of setup in this spot, too. So,
excellent. Well, if that's the case, Candy Raid to here. So take her out of the Indiana Oaks.
It's like doing math. It's a math problem.
I know. Well, there's too many of these. I talked to Eric yesterday, Hallstrom, about all the overlap. The claimant on the outside, No Silver Spoon here, who was boosted very cleverly by Rocket Ship Racing, and Jeff Hiles stole this horse from Michael Dubb and Mike Caruso, formerly Bethlehem Stables is the name everyone knows Mike Caruso a little bit better as, and $100,000 ready-made horse, and Rocket Ship Racing turned right around, ran a big race in open company, because this happens to be a Louisiana bred, and in open company against nice allowance foes, ran very well. No Silver Spoon here, a little interesting, and coming in from High Point, not that the bullets at a private training center mean much, but I'm a little intrigued by this that Hiles sees fit to run her here.
Yeah, she certainly stacks up, if you wanted to say, on a buyer speed figure way. And I know Connect, a lot of people are excited about the Connect horses that they have, so I've been kind of paying attention to him more and more as a stud. So this is a Connect filly as well. So.
Well, and McPeak with Butterbean, and this is the second Butterbean. There was a Butterbean, there was also the wrestler Butterbean, but there was another horse named Butterbean, and it doesn't seem like it was 7 years ago, but the name must have been available again for use, and a Klimt that won the prep for this and is also on a bit of a roll, and also is going to be a decent price. The Iowa Oaks, the Iowa Derby, the Cornhusker Mary, and, of course, the juvenile races on Friday, the girls on Friday, the boys on Saturday, the Prairie Golden Juvenile, and then very good backup stakes along the way, a good allowance sprint as the fifth race. There's quarter horse action that starts out the cards. Two evening performances tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, with the Sailorville and the Iowa Distaff and Sprint, and then the big card on Saturday. And people should tune in. They've got a very nice slate, and it closes out a good Saturday of thoroughbred racing, the Iowa Festival of Racing. Mary Rampolini, as always, a pleasure.
Thank you, Steve. I'm so glad you got a chance to make Route 66. So enjoy your continued travels back to Saratoga, I'm sure.
Exactly. I appreciate it, and good to connect with Mary. Great job by the team at Prairie Meadows. Let's take the top of the hour break. We're a few minutes in. Marcus Hirsch is standing by. We're going to get Marcus in here, and he's covering the action here as well at Indiana. So, hour two on the docket, Marcus Hirsch, James Scully, and then in hour three, Nick Tamaro, Dave Grenig, and Hammer. We're live at Indiana at Horseshoe, and the rain's coming down now, and apparently after tomorrow morning, it'll clear out. So by post time, you should have fast and firm. Roy Smith, one of the great track supers in the country runs things here, and he'll have the main track groomed and ready for everybody, and it should be a nice afternoon. Back after this, hour two at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse with the LA County Fair Meet, with exciting daytime racing through July 10th. First post today is 2 p.m. Pacific. The Saturday night card will include the running of the Los Alamitos Derby. Slowdown Andy will look to become the first to win the Los Alamitos Futurity and Derby. The field will also include recent Affirm Stakes runner-up High Connection. And on Sunday afternoon, our closing day program will include mandatory payouts on all wagers. Plus, our day and night weekend doubleheaders continue as our nighttime action follows the daytime cards. The Saturday night card includes the Governor's Cup Futurity Trials. The Governor's Cup Derby Trials are set for Sunday night. Watch all the action on TVG or at your favorite satellite facility or ADW provider. Great day and night racing continues at Los Alamitos. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless